bless you, Sister Becky.
Well, I certainly want to ask your prayers today. I want to call your attention to a scripture reading found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. If you would care to follow along with me in the reading, please turn to John, chapter 10. And I want to begin reading there with verse 1. So let's read these together. John chapter 10, beginning with the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And I want to stop my reading there, having read the first 10 verses of John chapter 10 for a scripture reading. And I want to share with you today the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this hour. And I want to use a title today, Resisting God's Goodness. Resisting His Goodness. Now Jesus here in these words that were recorded long ago, in the last verse that I read, he made it known here why he had come. He said, the thief only comes to steal or to kill or to destroy, but I'm come to give life. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, Jesus said that he had come to call sinners to repentance. And when we read in the Gospels, when we read about the life that the Lord Jesus lived while he was here on earth, and the things that he did while he was here, he never came here to do anything but good for us. He never came here to harm the human race in any way. He came here, the Bible tells us in the third chapter of John, the Lord said, I'm not come to condemn. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, man did that job well enough. Man condemned himself well enough. Jesus said, I didn't come for that purpose. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came that the world through me might be saved. And that saved there, he's talking about the same thing that he was here in John chapter 10, verse 10. I'm come that they might have life. And not just earthly life, but abundant life, eternal life, everlasting life. You know, that's the great benefit that we have when we're able, by God's help, to place our faith in Him, is that He gives unto us everlasting life. God so loved the world that He sent His Son here for that purpose. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have not temporal life, but have everlasting life. And you see, the life that we live here in this world is not that. It's not everlasting life. It's temporary life. But the Lord come that we might have this abundant life. Now, I'm going to say this again, that there's many people that are sending out a very wrong message to the world today about what Jesus was talking about when He said that He had come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, He wasn't talking about in the abundance there. He wasn't referencing the riches of this world. He wasn't talking about material things there. He was talking about everlasting life. That's abundant life. Life that goes on and lasts forever. And that's what Jesus came here to do. And, you know, I've said this before, and I believe in this thought that we really get a good look at the folly of men and the way of mankind and the way that we think and the way that we react to the Lord. We really see the depravity of man in this, I believe. Because if you look around in the world today, people will go to great lengths and to great extent to own the things of the world. They will work hours upon hours. People will toil and they will labor and they will break their backs and you know, they will do, it seems, whatever it takes in order to have the temporary things of this life. Some people, if they can't get it another way, they'll even steal it. You know, that's how much it means to some people that if they can't obtain it one way, if they can't obtain it an honest way, some of them will obtain it a dishonest way. But when you, oftentimes, when you tell people about what Christ has to offer, that He can give unto you eternal life, a life that will never fade away, a life that will never perish, that you will live with Him in eternity in heaven forever and ever, many times people resist such a thing as that, don't they? You know, I'm thankful that God deals with us. I'm just thankful today that God will have anything at all to do with us because we don't deserve Him to deal with us at all. But God, through His Holy Spirit and the preaching of His Word, you know, I'm thankful that as I stand today to try to proclaim the things that God has placed upon my heart, I'm glad that I'm not alone. I'm glad that I'm not alone in trying to reach you today. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God will take His truth and will bear witness to His truth and will deal with the hearts of people when His truth is preached, because otherwise my labor today would be in vain. That's what the Apostle Paul believed. That's what I believe. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, he reminded them of how he had been among them, and he said, My preaching and my speech was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I am convinced today that the Holy Spirit of God deals with the souls of people in the day that we live in the way that He always always has. God is not slack in his work. You'll never convince me that God is not dealing with those who are lost. God honors his word and God does his work. He does his work. I don't mean to be malicious or anything to what anybody says, but you know, oftentimes we hear, well, there's just not conviction. I don't believe that. I believe the Holy Spirit convicts. I think oftentimes it's true that there's not a proper response to it. There's not a favorable response to it, but I believe that God is doing his work. Jesus said in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would do his work when he come, that he would reprove, which means convict. And he will do that very thing, and he does do that. But oftentimes, when the Spirit of God begins to deal with the souls of people, and I've experienced this in my own life, when God begins to deal with people, there seems to be this tendency that we have because of the sinful nature that's in us. Rather than oftentimes to run to him, we have this tendency to reject him and resist him and push him away. I want to ask you to think about, and I want to summarize some of the things that happened and are recorded in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Acts, or of the book of Acts, rather. The apostles had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And the angel of the Lord came and set them free. And they went out, they went back out to the streets preaching the gospel again. And those that had imprisoned them, when they heard about that, they brought them up before them again. And they said, did we not command you that you were not to teach and preach anymore in this name, but you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine? And then we have that great statement in there that the Apostle Peter made, where he said, well, we ought to obey God rather than man. They became so furious with them that they were going to have them put to death. They were going to slay them. And the Jewish doctor Gamaliel, he stepped up, he went to bat for them, and he warned them. He said, you better not have anything to do with these men. He said, if this is of men, it'll come to naught. He reminded them of some things that had been done by men in the past that had was of no avail. And he said, if what these men are doing is of men, it'll come to naught. It won't do anything anyway. But if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found to fight against God. Lest peradventure, or perhaps, you be found to fight against God. Now, do you believe that people, mortal men, human beings, will actually do that? Will actually fight against God? I'll tell you, they will. And sadly enough, Brother Todd, I liked your Sunday school lesson this morning. Sadly enough, it's not only the lost world that'll fight against God, his own children will do it. You know, we have a tendency to resist God when all that he wants to do for us is good. You know, those of us who have been called into the ministry, It seems like most everybody has the testimony that when God called me to preach, I just didn't want to do it. That was something I just didn't want to do. But you know, God wasn't trying to harm us. The Apostle Paul, in the later years of his ministry, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God wasn't trying to harm us. And certainly when he was dealing with us through the Holy Spirit and dealing with our heart and causing us to see what we really were before him, God was doing that for the purpose of bringing us to him, that we might repent of our sins and place our trust in him and have this everlasting life that Jesus came to give. I wonder today if there's somebody here in this congregation of people that will actually resist the drawing power of God today. I hope not. But I'm telling you, people do. People do that. I want you to listen to this scripture that's recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. He that believeth, beginning with verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And here's the problem. Here's the problem with men. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now I want you to know today that if you're here and you're lost and you're separated from God, that because of that, because of our sinful nature, we have a bad and a wrong attitude toward God. And we love the darkness. Whether we want to admit it or not, we love the darkness rather than the light. And when God begins to deal with us and show us what we really are before him, and show us our true nature, and show us that we are sinners, we have a tendency to run away from him rather than run to him. But I'm going to tell you this, mark my word today, nobody has ever fought against God. Nobody has ever pushed God away. Nobody has ever resisted the Lord and prospered by doing it. Nobody. Nobody has ever come out the better. There's never been one person, nor will there ever be one person, that will be able to say, listen, when the Holy Spirit came knocking on my heart, and I pushed him away, and I didn't give in to that, boy, I was better off for it. Nope, nobody will ever benefit. But I'll tell you what, there's been great benefits by coming to him, hasn't there? When that call comes, the brother's Sunday school lesson this morning, the call to obedience, when that call comes, when God comes knocking on your heart and drawing you and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, the question was asked in the second chapter of Romans, in the fourth verse, do you despise the goodness of God, not knowing? Do you despise? Let me read it. I don't want to mess it up. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Well, let's read 3 and 4. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Do you? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God. You see, God doesn't want to lead you to repentance. He doesn't want to draw you and lead you to that place where by his help you can repent of your sins and trust him and be saved. He doesn't want to do that to harm you. He wants to do that, and he does do that because of his love and his goodness. The Bible doesn't say that God hated the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. It says he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. In the seventh chapter of Acts, in the 51st verse, when Stephen was addressing that angry crowd of people, he said to them, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Do you think people today still do? Stephen said to them, "You resist him just like your fathers did. Which of the prophets have they not taken and stoned?" I mean, there have been people that through the years, there have been people that have resisted the drawing power of God. There have been people that have resisted the Holy Spirit bearing witness to the truth, to the point that they tried and they did kill those who preached the truth. But I'm telling you what, listen, every time that one of God's children was put to death for the truth, they never could get rid of the truth. It was still there. Somebody else would proclaim it, and they never could kill the truth. But Stephen said, That's pretty rough, isn't it? That's pretty rough language. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always fight against God. You always resist the Holy Ghost. You ever heard anybody give one of those white-knuckle testimonies? You ever heard somebody talk about how that God was dealing with them in a church service, that the Lord was dealing with them, and they grabbed onto the bench there, and they held that bench so tight that their knuckles began to turn white, fighting against God? Listen, I'm going to tell you something today. When God deals with you, come to him. Come to him. You can squeeze that bench as tight as you want, and it's not going to remedy the problem. If you're lost today, you need the Lord. You need him. Jesus came here, and his time here was not pleasant. He suffered like no man ever suffered. He came here not out of obligation to us. He came here because of love for the human family. He came here to this world knowing that he was going to suffer, knowing that he was going to die the cruel death of the cross, knowing that he was going to be mistreated by men, and yet he came here and he went through all of those things for us, that he might give unto us abundant, everlasting, eternal life. Thank God for that. Thank God for the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make. And listen, lost friend, that trouble that's in your heart today, that Holy Spirit produced trouble that's in your heart today, that look at yourself that God has given to you through His Holy Spirit, Him making you see your sinful condition, that's not to harm you. You wouldn't ever come to Him if He didn't first show you your need. What will you do? What will you do today with Jesus? Will you come to Him? Or will you try with all your might to resist Him, to reject Him, to push Him away? You know, if you choose that, He'll allow it. But you need to choose not to fight, not to resist, but to give in and let the Lord have His way with you. You'll benefit from that. I did. Many have. And you can. So let's have a song.
Number let's pray for the lost. 185.
Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Come seeking Him for the salvation of your soul.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner. Come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not His mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Time now is fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
While we have Brother Ernest lead one more verse, everybody come in.
86.
And let's pray. Let's pray for the lost. And let's pray for any here today who are willing to seek him. And let's pray for those who are not willing that they'll get the.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Evermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My only hope, my only plea. Lord, I'm coming home. That Jesus died and died for me. Now I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. number 99. Help me sing, please. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lived. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride in purity then. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all going over there.
Say.
When you all get done, I'll...